Hacerle saber a los canadienses que están los muñequitos de matanza.
Vamos, vamos para allá.
Bueno, envíame un trago.
Ahí, vamos allá. Para allá. Pero ya que estoy aquí,
y veo que quieren ustedes saber quién soy yo.
Conmigo vale todo, conmigo vale todo, conmigo vale Lo primero que yo hago al despertar es dar gracias a Dios todos los días, rezarle a todos los santos y agradecerles la dicha mía. La verdad es que he sido muy dichosa, la suerte mía no se puede comparar. Imagínense
Oh my God, welcome back. We're having a good time in the studio here. Welcome back. You are listening to Black on Black on Black. I am your host, DJ Queen. And in case you are just tuning in because you were soothed into staying by the smooth, well, I don't know, always smooth, but like, you know, the irresistible melodies that you just heard. Today, we are prioritizing diving deeper into the roots of salsa and talking about that genre. I am not talking about salsa sauce, although a lot of people definitely... I got some interesting remarks actually from my colleagues today when I was telling, like, oh yeah, I'm going to do a show about salsa and I'm going to bring in a couple of people to come and talk about that and really dive into the origins of it. It wasn't until I think I said, like, yeah, we're going to be distinguishing between like what happened in New York and Cuba. People were like, oh, you're not talking about sauce. I was like, no, what y'all talking about? What roots am I talking about? Like chili peppers? Like, no. My God. But so welcome in. I am joined today by two of my close friends. And
so irrespectful.
Sorry, who have been helping to kind of foster this discussion with me, as I would say I'm very new to salsa, and they are definitely folks who grew up in the culture, are still definitely deeply entwined with salsa. And one thing that we discussed during the break that we didn't cover before is actually talking about the influence of indigenous culture on salsa. And so I want to open that up to kind of describe the ways in which, because outside of, like, you know, the African influence and the Spanish influence, there is absolutely indigenous influence, and that absolutely has to be talked about because we don't want to erase anything here.
So real quick, because we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
Real quick, so when the Spaniards colonized, you know, the Caribbean, my ancestors, like, there's obviously these thriving indigenous culture and thriving indigenous music, and there's all these instrumentation that specific to the Las Americas. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of African rebellions, slave rebellions, mm-hmm. and they would, like, wipe out a bunch of Spaniards, and they would join the indigenous populations, mm-hmm. and they would literally become a different fucking culture. Mm-hmm. So güiro, you know, like the scratchers, maracas, even what the prototype for congas is a Taino drum. Mm-hmm. And so when the African slaves joined these indigenous communities, they created these fusions that without these indigenous rhythms, indigenous instruments, there wouldn't be any música latina that we know. Like cumbia, for example. I know we're getting off topic here.
We are.
Cumbia is very specifically Wayu and Arhuaco. So all the instruments are all 100% indigenous, but then you bring in that West African influence, mm-hmm. and that drum they call the alegre, which is way have more West African vibe on top of indigenous rhythms. So I'm just saying, everything that you know about música latina, it does not exist without the indigenous culture and influence.
And just as I know, cumbia comes from Colombia.
Eso es.
So just want to make sure we understand geographically where these things are coming from.
To the Taino, mm-hmm. Arhuaco, Arawak, mm-hmm. Wayuu, mm-hmm. Iwa Piche. Because mm-hmm. without that, there's no música latina.
Absolutely.
True.
That's all.
So something I want to, before we really get into when salsa became salsa, let's talk about the transition. So we're in the 1960s. We're walking up to the 1970s where salsa is really hitting the mainstream. And so what I found in my research looking at the 1960s was that boogaloo was really coming to was really on the rise, and boogaloo, as what I found it as, a fusion of Latin rhythms and soul music popular among young Latino communities in NYC and New York. The political and social climate of so let's start with there. That's a pretty basic sort of, like, definition of boogaloo. Can one of you sort of, like, get into more of, like, it would definitely be good to talk about the difference between boogaloo and mambo, because there's a difference there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, boogaloo and mambo are totally different. Yeah. So basically, boogaloo is, like, a lot, like, the Afro-Latinos and, like, African-Americans are taking funk music. Like, so the thing is, a lot of música latina, you avoid the one. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. Musically, you're always dancing around. You use a clave, it's polyrhythmic, it's all over the place. Whereas funk music, it's all about the one. Like, And so they're basically taking, leaning into a backbeat, the one of like funk and New Orleans music, and putting cha-cha right on top of it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that music was in English and Spanglish, and they're talking a lot of jive. Mm-hmm. And the idea was like to kind of mix basically like soul and funk together with all these rhythms that were coming from the Caribbean. So that's why like a lot of like nowadays you hear a lot of reggaeton, like that song from Cardi B and Bad Bunny, mm-hmm. I like it like that. Mm-hmm. That's just an mm-hmm. old Boogaloo mm-hmm. song. Or mm-hmm. Rafi Robles, who is the trumpet player for Funny All Stars, he had a side project where all they did was funk Boogaloo. Mm-hmm. So it definitely was a huge influence. Like, it made kind of that inaccessible Caribbean music more accessible to black folks in the Bronx and Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a bridge. And it would kind of set the stage for salsa mm-hmm. because it was taking mambo, which seemed like such a huge scene, and kind of mixing it into a more contemporary area of swing and funk and jazz, and do something that everyone can get down to.
Mm-hmm. So the term salsa, meaning sauce actually in Spanish, mm-hmm. became popular in the 1960s and 1970s. It was used to describe the spicy blend of different musical styles. The Fania, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Fania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A record label. And its star musicians like Willie Colon, Hector Lavoe, and Celia Cruz played a huge role in popularizing the name and sound. And so I'm wondering if one of you could talk about sort of Fania Records and sort of like how really they were able to like mainstream salsa.
So Willie Colon, Ray Barreto, mm-hmm. and Johnny Pacheco, they were basically a bunch of like thugs and drug dealers in the Bronx. Let's be honest, that's what they were. And they wanted to record something like they said, like, you know, Motown, you know, and Stax is for black folks, but we need something that's for like black Latino folks. So they created their own label out of drug money. Straight up, you know?
Like, it's like the history of hip-hop.
It literally, hip-hop was happening at the same time, so this ain't too wild. And so basically, they came together and said, let's take mambo, which is the kind of infrastructure, but then all these Dominicans were there, and there was Panamanians, and there was jazz, and there was funk. And so let's bring us all together, and let's make something that we can, like, kind of package and go to these mambo clubs that's kind of, like, new and funkier and hip. Like, all their album covers, they had, like, machine guns, and they're, like, wearing hats, and they're, like, they were straight up doing this kind of, like, thug gangster stuff. Sort of shit, but it was like new and it was contemporary, so they kind of rebranded mambo in a young sort of situation. Mm-hmm. And then they started getting all the best talent from Latino America, mm-hmm. like Celia Cruz, you know, Jenny Pateco, Rubén Blades, and they brought them in, and they started basically repackaging. They say this is a mix of all these different things, so it's a salsita of all these different things mixed together. Mm-hmm. And then they sold it in a way that, like, a lot of Cuban artists never made money on this song, so it was folkloric music, but mm-hmm. when they repackaged it and then put it with these cool, like, album covers, so they all look like gangsters, they started selling it. So that's why a lot of people, when they think of all this music, they think of salsa, they think of Hector Lavoe, Celia Cruz, because these guys were capitalists, you know, and they knew how to sell it.
Does that naming convention seem correct?
Salsa?
Does that to you all, like, I get the definition, but does that actually really sort of encapsulate the music well?
I mean, at this point, it's too late. Like, I saw Tito Puente play Live at Yoshi's when I was a kid. He's like, I'm going to play a song. I don't play salsa. Salsa's what I put on my food. Fuck that.
I hear that so much. Yeah, I hear that so much.
But, I mean, but at this point, it's kind of too late. Like, salsa is the mix. It's what we do. So I embrace it. I think it's cool. I don't know. Either. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I kind of, but I'm agree too, because people call timba salsa, and it's not. Mm. Timba is the own genre.
Yeah,
people say, oh, it's salsa, it's timba. Mm-hmm. No, but it's salsa too. It's like, no, it's timba.
Mm-hmm.
Why is timba and no salsa? Because it's when you listen timba and you listen salsa from Puerto Rico, like from New York. For New York, it's way different.
Yeah.
Even the salsa, you know, like a lot of things like come from Cuba and mm-hmm. the roots. But it's like, I can agree that, mm-hmm. you know, like salsa is like, it can be like gentrified something because too many things involved in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But can be addressed as a discretion, like, I play salsa. It means like, or you playing like this different kind of genre, so you know mm-hmm. what you're doing, you know, like you like mm-hmm. this, you play these kind of things, mm-hmm. like timba. I say timba, But when I talk to people, I know how to dance salsa. I like salsa. Right, right. And I say that even if I know, like, timba is different from, like, traditional salsa.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I address timba as a salsa. Sometimes people are like, hey, no, not me, only Q. Like, oh, let's go to la salsa. La salsa, they say, oh, let's go to the club. Let's go to the spot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they don't say, like, oh, let's go to this event. Or, like, let's go to la salsa. La salsita.
I mean, do you think that by combining all these things in your salsa that people, I mean, do people sort of lose the, does it erase of these different things that contributed to salsa? Does it sort of like even erase the potential for people to get into like doing music, doing soul music, or doing doing any of these other styles because it's now all rebranded as salsa?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we both agree on that.
Yeah.
For example, even with like, you know, a lot of people kind of point the finger at the Puerto Ricans because the Puerto Ricans are the ones.
I just want to announce that before I talk to both of them and be like, we will not shit on the Puerto Ricans.
I love my Boricua.
So I want to give my little disclaimer before Rafa continues. Go ahead.
Because Willie Colon, a lot of them were Puerto Ricans, and they're the ones who, you know, a lot of them were born in the United States, and so they rebranded it as salsa, and they sold it, and you know, and God bless them, they did their shit. And they actually spread salsa farther, like in música latina. But the thing is, even bomba en plena, which are like the foundations of Puerto Rican identity and culture, they're integrated into salsa. But if you listen to, like, you know, a really good, you know, funny song that has a lot of bomba, people don't know those words. They don't know bomba en plena. They're like salsa, salsa, salsa. No. So even, like I say, the folkloric Puerto Rican music got erased by this umbrella term that just, like, everything's washed out. It's all just salsa.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, it's a problem, but I get it. It's like, because we have so many different rhythms, and so if people hear, like, I don't understand. Like, we'll just call it salsa. I get it, you know.
What do you feel like was really maintained? Like, even as salsa became, like, this sort of mainstream and global phenomenon, what feels like the that has really been maintained in the culture by it?
The thing is that, you know, all the kind of rhythms trying to survive, but salsa becoming stronger and bigger.
Yeah.
And people have to, like, well, I love my music. Mm-hmm. I love what I'm doing, but I wanted a piece of cake too. Yeah. You know? Come on, this is like industry. The industry made people think like that, you know? Like, people love, I'm passionate and all that, but people need money. People need to be successful. They want to be somebody. They want to put a name out there.
Yeah.
So I have to be like, yeah. So people, like, the industry has a lot of, like, you know, blame of this.
Yeah.
Because the industry just think about money. I don't care what you're playing. It's salsa for me. You know? Big labels out there, they're like, why you, salsa? Yeah, come here. I don't care what you're playing. Salsa, it is.
Yeah.
But this was with all the musicians, like, even like native music or whatever. People try to defend what they believe. Sometimes they have to be like, well, we have to associate with salsa.
It's economic.
You know?
Yeah.
But also it's like, because not just economic. Mixing with salsa, people that don't know that type of music exists or whatever.
Yeah.
For example, me, like, I was listening to some kind of music the other day, and I was like, oh, what is this? Oh, right now, like, Rafa told me, yeah, the salsa from Panama. This is the name of the day. Oh, look at that. And then, you know, things that, you know, I didn't know the name or how it was called.
Yeah.
But because people have to integrate it with salsa, some people can find, maybe people just want to pass the time, but some people like, I want to research. I want to know what is behind this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're doing it here right now, aren't we?
Exactly.
And I hope that, you know, the people have to listen to this, they do some research too.
I mean, it definitely reminds me of kind of what has happened in this country also with, like, other forms of black music, such as, like, hip-hop or even sort of R&B, soul music. Or, like, all of those, like, have sort of been, because of the industry getting involved, the machines, the money, you have a lot of people who are, a lot of black folks who are making music and being forced into a lane and being like, hey, you black, you're gonna you rapping. Oh, you a singer? Oh, you doing blues or you doing R&B? You're not doing bluegrass, you're not doing alternative, you're not doing any of those. Yeah. I don't care what you think you sound like, your market is this.
Exactly.
You know, and that kind of does erase sort of, like, I mean, a lot of black history has been erased out of like bluegrass music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have to dive deep into that, or listen to Rhiannon Giddens, right, who like goes in deep about how the banjo is a black instrument that came from Africa and was bastardized here. Yeah, you know, like it was, and so that I definitely can see how that erasure kind of oversimplifies something and be like,
that's it oversimplifies.
Yeah,
because we have all these different traditions coming from the Caribbean, mm-hmm, of Afro-Indigenous music, and it's all one thing now, salsa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We are salseros and we love it, but mm-hmm, it's like there's definitely a flattening of a lot of different cultural influences and conflicts.
True.
That I think should be addressed and picked apart and celebrated.
I mean, one thing that we could, as we're talking more, getting into maybe present state of salsa, I think it's definitely worth bringing up Bad Bunny's new album, because there are okay. I mean, I really enjoy this because you can find on YouTube where they plays the song and then it breaks down sort of what's involved in each of the songs. So he has salsa songs, he also has plena songs, he also has bomba songs,
mm-hmm,
and sort of that. I think that's really cool to see, sort of like him putting out political songs, also making sure to incorporate sort of like the more root music, mm-hmm, you know, and giving long explanations about sort of the history. And I'm curious, sort of like how does it feel to see that? How do you think that has an impact on any of those genres?
Well, I would say there's an inherent conflict. When reggaeton really blew up, I felt a lot of old heads, and even just like, you know, musicos like myself who made their money behind like, you know, salsa and play, like they hated reggaeton. Because like this reduction of all of our culture and music to this kind of like dancehall hip hop shit, and we hate it, you know?
Can you please describe what reggaeton is? Because some people will think that you're just saying reggae.
Tiny history lesson. So when they were building the Panama Canal, a bunch of Jamaicans were sent to Panama to build the canal. Jamaicans started having these Jamaican dance hall parties. The Panamanians started translating those songs into Spanish. They started mixing salsa. It went to Puerto Rico. It became reggaeton. So it's basically Jamaican dance hall with a lot of música latina infused back into it. So it's all black Caribbean music if we get down to it, the fundamentals of it. So I'll say, like, so there's this fundamental thing where a lot of old heads didn't like reggaeton kind of like taking over everything. So people weren't dancing bachata, they weren't dancing salsa because they're just such a reggaeton. But then there's certain artists like Tego Calderon and Bad Bunny who they literally realize like this is the root of everything they love that inspired them. And so they're kind of reintegrating these older styles back into it. Especially this new album from Bad Bunny, mm-hmm, with the plena and the bomba and salsa and muy fuerte. And I think it's a natural progression. Music changes, and you can't deny that reggaeton is fun and beautiful and funky.
Damn.
But I like the fact that there is artists who are like a Choquitown, Goyo, Sistema Solar, who they're actually taking that shit and bringing it back and taking the old and new and not denying that music has moved on. It's more digital, it's more funky, it's more hip-hop, it's dancehall, but still respecting the roots of it and not losing those roots. Because it kind of sucks when I go to some Latino parties and I see some Latinos who don't know two steps from like salsa at all, or a merengue. All they can do is perreo. All they can do is like, you know, dirty wine. You know,
hey.
Which is fun. Hey. I love that shit.
You need rhythm for that.
That's true.
I miss, like, you know, you can dance with your abuela and it's fucking fun. And these folks don't have to dance with abuela because you're not going to perreo on your abuela.
Exactly.
I have seen abuelas get down to some reggaeton. So I just want to put out there, abuela, if you're getting down, we know you can get down. Don't worry about it. We got you.
What do you think about that?
I would say I would love to hear about reggaeton. Also, I know there's reggaeton cubano.
Oh.
Hey. It's okay. We were trying to pull someone up. We're getting the X, like, absolutely not.
There's a special guest. He's terrified of the mic.
But you know, I'm wondering, I would love to hear you comment on what Rafa said. Also, talk about reggaeton cubano, because I loved what I heard that you played for me.
No, I'm agree with Rafa. Mm-hmm. I'm agree with Rafa that, you know, like, I defend with, like, these people trying to create art. Or like they want to bring their roots back,
mm-hmm,
into like a modern times,
mm-hmm,
to, you know, to dembow,
what,
yeah,
what is that?
to the Dominican.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
That's a whole another rant.
Dembow is like perreo, but it's true. Like I know people like this, actually, like sons of friends that I talk about, you know, like, oh, you know, do this about that. They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And their roots are like Latino roots. Mm-hmm. And they only know, like, just like, you know, like, perreo thing. Yeah, that thing.
Carol G.
And I'm like, you know, like, can you play this and that? Oh, that's kind of boring. I'm like, no, yeah, that's not boring. What are you talking about? No, music is all, it's everything about, like, movie, you buns.
Yeah.
Puns. You know? Yeah, he's one of you, pervert. But I'm agree with that. And, like, on the perreo cubano, on the Cuban reggaeton, is that it's basically, you know, like, different because they use a lot of, like, the kind of, like, salsa clave, mm-hmm. the time. Oh, no, salsa, the timba clave. Because mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. actually, when you people can listen or research, they're going to see that timba use a lot of, like, reggaeton cubano. Mm-hmm. The modern reggaeton cubano. Because it's, like, very fast. Mm-hmm. It's, like, yeah, like, against time. It's, like, a syncopat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot mm-hmm. of improvisation. Mm-hmm. And it's from these people that, I'm going to bring back. It's, like, political thing involved because mm-hmm. it's the people that, the poorest people, the poorest mm-hmm. are from the baddest neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find a way out, a solution mm-hmm. of their situation, mm-hmm. of the, you know, the government, the cops, the, you know, the... They can't afford to go to a school, mm-hmm. and they get involved, like, you know, like drugs or like, you know, bad things. Mm-hmm. And I know people that really want to, like, express what they feel mm-hmm. or send a message to the community, mm-hmm. you know, of like, let's forget these bad times, let's come together, or like, you know, this is who I am, and I'm proud of where I came from. Mm-hmm. But they use the music to express that, mm-hmm. and identify themselves. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, these bad times, but we're trying to, like, survive or overcome this. And this is becoming very popular mm-hmm. international, like in San Francisco. The cookies, the Cuban reggaeton, they call it reggaeton repa.
Reggaeton repa. we're getting some faces in the back.
Reggaeton repa. Reactions.
Because this is a terminology, they say repartero.
Repartero
means like you know, low profile, like you know, from the hoods.
Oh.
Yeah, from the hoods. But they're mixing that with timba mm-hmm. and rumba, mm-hmm. and it has a lot of like dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Rhythmically, it's more interesting than just.
It's totally different. It's
I'm so happy you all are starting this. Can you, for those at home who probably are like, what is clave? y'all just like clave. And assuming, can you
Rafa can
so
say.
Here's the most basic. So there is a, clave literally means key. If you translate mm-hmm. it, so for example, most ultimately there is
three
clave, right? But there's also
cowbell.
So these are just these sort of patterns that they don't line up in 4/4. They don't line on the bar. Like if I study classical music, it does not line up on the bar lines. And then there's rumba clave, which it has just a little bit more, which most timbas rumba clave. It goes like. There's a swing. And so that little pattern right there isn't the foundation of every Caribbean music. Mm-hmm. And so that clave just locks everything together, especially the way that you dance around the clave, the way you swing on the clave, the way you play with that fucking clave.
Now, this clave is not created with salsa. This clave is created by the Yorubas. Mm-hmm. It comes like African mm-hmm. roots.
Thank you. Yes, it is.
Yeah, for example, there's a rhythm is like, ting 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 ting, very folkloric. Mm-hmm. It's like pa 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 pa. It's like against time, mm-hmm. and people are like, oh yeah, the rumba is like, you know, more times like no, rumba comes like from like the Yorubas, mm-hmm. even like 1500s, like even way back there.
And then describing, because now I'm realizing that people, when you say Yoruba, may not even know what that means.
Yeah. Yoruba is an ethnic group from Benin and Nigeria.
Thank you. Yeah.
And they also, there is a religion that's called Yoruba, which is actually a mix of a bunch of different cultures, but we call this umbrella term Yoruba. But also going back to what Ida said about like the fighting time, that's one thing about Latino music that you don't have in Africa. It's because there's clave that comes from Africa, and then there's rhythms from the indigenous people that you played at the same time, and somehow they fit, but they're fighting against each other, and that tension, that swing is the basis of música latina. And you don't find that in Nigeria, that's not in Ghana, that's not in Congo, that's not in Senegal, that happened in the Caribbean, because you're taking Taino rhythms and you're contrasting them and fighting against these West African claves.
Really music of the Americas.
It's something very specific.
It's really something music of the Americas. Yeah.
For example, sorry to interrupt you. A friend of mine from Colombia, from Nigeria, said like, in Nigeria you can find things that remind you of cumbia, but you will never find anything that's cumbia.
So I think we've been, in terms of talking about present day, we've talked about sort of what's going on with reggaeton fusion. We've talked about reggaeton cubano. Let's talk about salsa choque.
So
this is the one that I've really fallen in love with. Salsa choque, it's a high energy like dance style that originated in the Pacific coast of Colombia, particularly in cities, mainly Cali, as well as Tumaco. Okay, well, there we go. It blends salsa music with elements of Afro-Caribbean rhythms, electronic beats, and urban sounds like reggaeton. The dance is crazy. It's incredibly lively. The footwork is ridiculously fast. There's hip-hop movements thrown into there. I think I've seen the Dougie somehow integrated into salsa. It's
Roger
wild.
Rabbit.
All types of stuff. Right. And it became really popular around 2014, especially after Colombia's national soccer team was seen dancing it during the World Cup celebrations.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a fun thing. So I since it's from Colombia, we have our resident Colombian here. Talk a little bit more about salsa choque. Yeah. I love it.
So the short version is, back in the day, Hector Lavoe, he left the Bronx because he had a hit put on him from a rival gang.
Not shocking.
Not at all. And so he went to Cali. And so he went with a crew of people. He's played a bunch of salsa shows. So basically, a bunch of Colombians started getting really into this new fusion, this Puerto Rican Cuban salsa. And they started creating their own version. Like Grupo Nietzsche came out of that. And Grupo Nietzsche is amazing. This amazing. They took all the expertise that was happening with Colombian, you know, cumbia and folkloric shit, and they mixed it into a salsa, the blend. And then there was Fruco, with amazing group. And then Joe Arroyo was this singer. He mixed like folklore, Colombian cumbia, vallenato, all that, and he mixed it with salsa. So there's already a thriving salsa scene that's been going on in Colombia for a long time, especially in Cali. But then when this whole choque, basically choque, they were listening to champeta. And champeta is a Caribbean, African dancehall hip-hop fusion that came out of the Caribbean. And they said, hey, let's mix that with our salsa we already have. And that became salsa choque. So it's a mix of like a lot of different African diasporas coming together between dancehall, between hip-hop, between salsa, between funk, between sukus from Congo, and it became salsa choque. So it's kind of more minimalist. There's less trumpets, there's less piano, there's sometimes there isn't piano montun. It's just like one guitar riff, one bass line, and it's just funky as hell, and it's all about the footwork, which also came from champeta. So it's this kind of minimalist, kind of bringing it, kind of like dembow, just a minimalist version of salsa that's just funkier, heavier, aggressier, and like faster. So like it's not flowery, it's not that ballroom salsa that you see in the clubs. It's just like, let's get weird and reductionist and funky and sexy and disturbing.
And then I have heard a lot of, I've talked with quite a few people who don't consider salsa choque salsa. They consider it something completely different. I've heard people say that in two different sort of like with some undertones. People said that because they want to acknowledge salsa choque as this like very much its own thing. Yeah. And other people say that because they're like, no, that's not.
Yeah, that's that ratchet.
That's
corroncho.
Honestly, it feels a little anti-black. I'm not gonna lie. And so I'm curious about sort of what are Rafa, maybe what are your sentiments about it? And kind of what, like, yeah, what when you kind of hear people say that, or if you've heard people say that?
I definitely heard that. I think, like, in general, I'd say it leans more towards, like, this is not real music.
Yeah.
It's mixing too much of that reggaeton, too much of that champeta, mm-hmm, too much of that corroncho. Mm-hmm. And they want the more purists. They want, like, Hector Lavoe. They mm-hmm want to listen to Celia Cruz to the day they die, and they don't like the fact that we're innovating and mixing with new styles.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, even the same thing with champeta music. The reason why it's called champeta, champeto means a shank. And like, it was a racial slur. They would say it to, like, somebody from the hood. They was like, you're a champeto. You're nothing but a shank. And so, like, our music, we call it champeta. So it's definitely, it's anti-black, it's anti-hood, it's anti-corroncho. So I would say it leans more towards that, mm-hmm, except for you can't resist the dancing. Like, they recognize that because that we've, this is new style that we've created, that, like, you have to admit that the dancing has changed, and it's something that, if you can't dance to Hector Lavoe the way we dance to Salsa Choque,
oh, period. Hell no.
So, it's, you know, it's the future. You can't embrace the future.
I also think it's a great way to get people, like, younger people who maybe don't have any sort of affinity for salsa music in touch with a piece of that, you know, right. Like, you come for Salsa Choque, you end up staying because you find Hector Lavoe and all these other people. You're like, wow, yeah, this is really great music, and why haven't I known about this? Why have I not been involved?
And the good or bad is, like, it's very TikTokable, because there's, like, literally, yeah, there's, yeah, like, a certain, so let's do, you know, Botecalo, let's do El Tigre, let's do, and so literally you just one little step, and they do go on TikTok and they do it, and then when you go in the club, you can do that with your friends immediately. So it's yeah, and I see why the old salsero is like, no, it has to be this formal thing. You can't just do, like, one new step that you stole from hip-hop. Mm. But, like, that's how it works. That's how culture works, especially with the black diaspora. It's constantly mixing. So,
Do people feel the same way about timba? I feel like I hear you say, like, timba definitely is not salsa, its own thing. But do people kind of have this? Because I've also ran into friends who, when I say timba, they're like, I don't do timba like that. Or, like, there's sometimes also what I feel like is a little bit of a, because they can't do it, they like, oh, I just don't do it. I don't know. The music is great, and the steps are great, but it also sometimes hits me a little bit of anti-black. But
it's the way some people say, I don't do salsa from New York. But, there you go. I don't do, you know, like, New York style, this and that.
Also, a little bit of, like, what's that tune? What's that attitude that's happening right now?
Yeah, for example, I think that all music is beautiful, mm-hmm, because, you know, like, music is evolving constantly. But for example, me, I went with friends to a club, and they were playing, like New York style, and we all were like three Cuban people standing there, and then we were like, no way, Jose.
This is not for me.
We were like, nah, we're just gonna bounce.
Yeah.
And people came to us saying, hey, you wanna dance? We're like, we don't know how to dance this. I was like, what? You Cuban? I was like, yeah. It's like, no, Cubans all dance salsa. And then we were like, but this is, we are not, it's way different.
Yeah, it is.
So that, yeah, when is. People say, like, oh, you know, this salsa, we're like, yeah, we do salsa, but
and
it's salsa from New York. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are the difference? Like, no, they are the same. Like, no,
no, they're not. No, they're not.
It's like, it's a lot of, like, history behind, mm-hmm, but, you know, like, I don't associate with the salsa. Like, for me, it's different, it's beautiful. But I don't feel attracted to this.
I feel attracted. You cute girl, and you're not my type. You're not my type.
It's beautiful. There's a lot of history behind. But, you know, like, you put me in a ballroom or in the dance floor with that, I'm like, fail. Automatically fail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do run into people who don't understand. Like, I sometimes when I'm out and, like, I get approached to dance, if I haven't been watching them dance on the dance floor, I'll be like, what style? What style do you do? Do you dance on two? Or do you dance on one? Are you doing timba? Are you doing Puerto Rican? Because if you do all this hand choreography I'm like, I don't want to do any of that. I am into footwork, and I want to do all the footwork stuff. All this hand choreography doing, you're messing up what I think I know you're trying to do.
Yeah, so, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but in the Bay Area, the more predominant is the timba.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, timba's taking over.
Yeah. Timba. The Russians, the Cubans are taking over.
If you are wondering from this and you are in the Bay Area and you're wondering, like, well, what all these different styles I didn't know exist, what should I get into timba? And so Zanzi's in Oakland.
Yeah.
Zanzi's in Oakland. They do timba. They do timba lessons, and it's open dance. I would absolutely suggest, and that's every Thursday.
But then you're gonna find, like, mm-hmm. when you go there, mm-hmm. it's not just Cubans. You find Asian,
yeah,
Filipino.
It's very diverse.
Very super diverse.
Filipinos, cut it out. They,
oh my god, it's incredibly diverse.
No, entiendo porque los filipinos pueden bailar mejor que nosotros.
But the goal is, like, you're gonna find all kind of people, mm-hmm. while in the salsa from, you know, New York style, you can find, you know, international people around, but mostly predominant is, like, you know, Chicano, Latino people, mm-hmm. you know, like, white people.
Yeah.
But when you see timba, you're gonna find all. He's like, "Where are you from? You Russian? Damn! Yeah. You guys better than me." Like, wow.
It is probably one of the most diverse salsa scenes that I've seen. And I mean, I still consider myself a baby in the salsa scene, but I've been to so. I've been to so many different ones, and I will say Zanzi's is probably one of the most diverse that I've seen. So absolutely, I second that. The last thing I want to touch on, and we're only gonna spend a couple of minutes on this, and then I want to get us into our last sort of dance music break, is I want to save some space in terms of talking about gender expression within salsa, because it is a heavily sort of in terms of the dance, it's really gendered. Especially as someone myself who is queer, I've definitely had friends sort of point that out and sort of say, like, either ways in which they feel fine leading into or leaning into that gender dynamic, or the ways that they don't. And so historically, salsa has followed a leader-follower dynamic. The leader, which is typically a man, initiates the movement, guiding the flow of the dance. Shout out to my leads, by the way. Y'all choreograph in real time, and I appreciate y'all. The follower, which is typically a woman, mm-hmm. responds to leader's cues, adding flourishes and improvisation. If I don't look good as a follower, guess who also don't look good? You, as a leader. I just want to point that out. So the dynamic, though, mirrors a broader social norm where men were seen as assertive and women are receptive, with the leader often having more control over the dance. And, you know, that I think that is starting to be more challenged in this mm-hmm. in this day and
true,
age.
True, true.
Because our society's sort of understanding about gender is evolving.
But it's a hard fight.
Yeah.
It's a hard fight.
Yeah.
Especially history of machismo.
Yeah.
You can fight the government, you can fight a lot of things, mm-hmm. but when, like, salsa and... because it's
cultural.
It's cultural.
It's social.
And it's really hard to not be gentrified. I mean, like, the gender thing. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we got friends that are, like, transgender or lesbian or gay. Mm-hmm. And then they go, everybody have the right to go and have fun.
Yeah.
But the kind of treatment of the environment they will feel to mm-hmm. them, it will be... not hostile, but a little more like rejecting.
It's isolating.
Yeah, I totally understand. Like, a lot of my queer friends, when they go to salsa clubs, like, just having such an enforced binary, it seems very restrictive. And I'm like, you know, I'm non-binary myself, and granted, like, you know, I'm mass presenting, so I lead. I don't know how to follow. I've never learned how to follow because I've been conditioned to lead salsa. And so, but even sometimes, like, I'll be there with my homies and, like, there won't be enough chicas, and I'll dance with, like, a male friend. And some of my male friends, like, oh, that's cool, you know. But some of them were like, nah, man, you ain't leading me. What the fuck? Hell no. And a lot of times, but a queer man will be like, yeah, you can lead me. And that, it seems so strange. Like, why is that such an issue? Because mm-hmm. it's so gendered. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember what, like, I was with, you know, my homie Eva, who's, you know, non-binary, mm-hmm. and was leading me, and I realized I don't know how to follow. Like, mm-hmm. I had no fucking clue. And mm-hmm. I realized, like, I'm so entrenched in the way I've been indoctrinated with this culture that I don't even know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's definitely... And then there's a lot of queer salsa parties where, like, that been totally flipped and reversed, yep. where it doesn't fucking matter at all. But it's not the norm. So I see why a lot of, especially queer and non-binary folks and trans folks, like, you know, come into situations and can be intimidated by the context. Like, oh, this is some heteronormative fucking... reinforcing patriarchy bullshit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there's some work to be done, and yeah, it's odd. We got to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things that are definitely happening, especially here in the Bay. There are starting to be same-sex partnerships in dance are starting to be in salsa is starting to be more popular, particularly within cities like New York, San Francisco, and Berlin.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
In Madrid, is queer as fuck.
And then role reversals in terms of salsa, like women leading and men following, are becoming more common. Which I say all the time that, like, if you want to learn how to lead, try following.
Yeah.
Like you, and if you want to learn how to follow, try leading. You know, like and pay attention to kind of like what your partner is doing. Right. Also, gender neutral dance classes. I've been to quite a few. I find most of them are in the Bay Area. Are in Berkeley and Oakland. White Horse has a queer salsa event that happens every single month, I believe. And so they're out there. I'll gather some more, and during their next show, I'll make sure to plug those at the very beginning. But I'm going to close this out. I want to say thank you to my co-host, to my guest speaker.
It was a pleasure.
Yes. Yeah. You all did so well. I'm so happy that you all were able to come on time.
Oh yeah, this is one of the Cubans, you know, like we show are always late.
It's not
a stereotype. We're Caribbean, right?
They were actually early, mind you. I did tell them at 5 and they got here at 5:30, but it doesn't matter, that's still early. Look at y'all. And then coming up next, we have Hell's Kitchen by John Hell. Whatever he's in the mood for, whether it's punk, funk, or junk, you're sure to get an earful of Hell with John Hell. 20 plus years of non-commercial and pirate radio experience. He's a musical force to be reckoned with. Bring it on. Thank you, everyone, and I hope you all enjoyed this last musical break. I'll try to get through all the songs that we have, but enjoy. Thank you all for listening.
Pero la calle la llama.